welcome to church. Welcome to God's house. We believe that God's house is for God's name, for His fame, and for His glory, right? And for His people. We were meant to be a part of God's house. We believe in at least two things for sure. We believe in Jesus. We believe that everybody needs Jesus, and everybody needs a home to belong to, a family. So if you don't have a home, we invite you to belong to a part of our home, part of our family. Okay, we're well into this series, and we're getting close to the end. So before we continue, let's bow our heads, and let's ask God's blessing on the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for gathering every single person here. I know that you want to speak to everyone here very personally. And I pray this Word will really go deep into the heart. I believe the psalmist said, my tongue is like a pen of a skillful writer. And so, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would anoint my tongue and cause this Word to be written, not just in our mind, but right on our hearts, Lord. Lord, it's with our minds that we hear the Word, but it's our hearts that we believe. And I pray that today it be a heart Word, that we believe this Word, we receive this Word, and we live this Word out by your grace and by your power, so that it magnifies you and it blesses us in the process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we're talking about, my message this morning is, we are covenant people. Can we say that? We are covenant people. So we're going to talk about this powerful thing, this essential thing that needs to be in all great, long-standing relationships, especially godly relationships, this powerful thing called covenant. So we're going to look at some examples, some verses, some scripture. So let's start by looking at 1 Samuel chapter 18. Just a bit of background. 1 Samuel chapter 18 is the chapter about Jonathan and David. We speak Jonathan and David. Now, Jonathan was an incredible man of God. He was the son of the king. He was son of King Saul of Israel. But if you know the background of the story, Saul was coming to the end of his kingship, and a young guy, just a young guy named David, barely older than a teenager, is rising up, and God has him next in line to become the king of Israel. And so, this is a process where David has this colossal, incredible fight with a guy named Goliath, and he defeats Goliath in this incredible contest, and he rises up to prominence, and King Saul takes him into his army, and he is just an incredible fighter and a warrior. And he's not just a young man, an upstart. This guy's got character. He's got courage. And so Saul is wise. He brings him in under him, and he's talking to Saul. And Jonathan, the son of the king, notices this young man, David. He's got to just stands out. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, when David had finished speaking to Saul, the son of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even his sword and his bow and his belt. Keep that story in mind. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, God spoke to his people and he said these words to them. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath. Let me repeat that. He was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors hundreds of years before. This is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. How many of you know? That's exactly what God has done for you and I today. He rescued from the kingdom of darkness, and he brought him into the kingdom and into the light of his son, right? The oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, listen to this, that the Lord your God is indeed your God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. New Testament. Here's a New Testament scripture on covenant. Acts 2 verse 42. All the believers in the early church, New Testament church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which is covenant. It's called koinonia. And to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. In Matthew 26 verse 27, Jesus, then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is what we did this morning. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We are grace people. We are grace people. We are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Right? Not only are we grace people, we are also godly people. Grace leads to godliness. Godliness leads to grace. Right? We are grace people, we are godly people, we are also covenant people. In heart, in mind, in soul, in love, in unity. Right? God is a covenant-keeping God. And as we take on His divine nature, we become a covenant people. Amen? Amen. Covenant. What does it mean? Simply means this on your PowerPoint. Simply means this. Coming together. Coming together. Old Testament words in the Bible for covenant are Bereith, which means a covenant is a contract made by cutting and walking through the pieces. Now, you don't know what that means now, but you will in just a few minutes. A covenant is a contract by cutting and walking through the pieces. Another word for covenant in Old Testament is Kerath, which means to cut. To cut or to make covenant. A New Testament word for covenant is koinonia. Koinonia, which means fellowship. Intimate communion. Are you tracking me? Okay, you got to listen carefully here. A covenant on your PowerPoint was a bond, was bound by words or blood, or words and blood, both. A covenant was essentially an oath and a promise that you made to someone. Okay? It is two or more parties agreeing on promises, privileges, and the responsibility of covenant. Okay? Greatest illustration today is marriage. Marriage is the first illustration of covenant in the Bible. Number one, marriage is a promise. It's an oath that you make to someone else. A promise to love and to cherish. Right? To obey, to love and to cherish, to be faithful in good times, bad times, whether for richer, for poorer, until death do we part. It is promise, words spoken. Right? Sealed by the words that you've spoken. Not only that is marriage a promise to love and to cherish, it is an act of intimacy. An act of intimacy. If you go back to the Old Testament, you see that the marriage was sealed in blood. It was sealed by the virgin's blood on the first day, on the first night when they had intercourse together, on their marriage night. And in the Old Testament, the son or the new husband was to take the blood-stained sheets and present them to the father of the bride. Wow. Talk about feeling kind of awkward, right? But covenant was serious. You see, the covenant was literally sealed by blood. The blood sealed the covenant, right? See, even today, wedding is still the same. the wedding gate, on the wedding day, there's a coming together. Coming together. In one, to become one flesh, intimate communion. That's what marriage is. It's one plus one equaling one, not twos. One man, one woman. That comes later. Okay? Equals one, right? A relationship that is deep, that is real, that is meaningful, and is meant to be totally fulfilling. God created the covenant of marriage. And that's why Adam, when he got Eve, he said, "And she is now bone of my bones, she is flesh of my flesh." We are one. One together in Christ. Amen? So every time sex happens in the context of marriage, it's a celebration. It is a signification of covenant. Covenant! If you read your Bible, you'll find out, you'll discover that the Bible is all about covenant. All about relationship. Covenant. Can I say this? Covenant is huge to God. Amen? I want to put it all on the table. I want to tell you, God is all about covenant. Covenant is incredibly huge and important to God. Amen? He is a covenant-keeping God. And that's why he doesn't understand broken contracts. He doesn't understand relationships built on convenience. He doesn't understand. You know, God doesn't have a prenup. God doesn't have an exit strategy. See, you can trust God. You can trust the covenant-keeping God because He always keeps His word. Never, ever once of all the hundreds and possibly even more covenants of God made in the Bible, He never, ever broke a word. He never, ever broke a promise. Ever. He is a covenant-keeping God. And you can trust Him when He tells you the truth in His Word. Amen? He's a covenant-keeping God. So let's talk about covenant. Let's talk about God's covenant, commitment to covenant to us. Let's look just at a few examples of the covenants that He made and how He kept His covenants. Number one, He kept His covenants way back to Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God spoke to the serpent who had just deceived Adam and Eve. And He said to the serpent, and He is speaking this to Adam and Eve and to mankind in general. He said to the serpent, "I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." See, this is literally the first prophecy about Jesus in the Bible. Way back there in Genesis, remember I said that everything in the Bible, every story, every scripture, all points to Jesus? It's all about Jesus, right? And when God spoke this prophecy, it was a prophecy about Jesus. And it was a prophecy about Mary, that Mary would conceive Jesus, and Jesus would be putting his foot on the serpent's head, on Satan's head. You see, God was faithful to that covenant, because what did He do? He sent Jesus. Right? He was faithful to that covenant when sending Jesus. Number two, He kept His covenant with Noah. He said, "Never again will I flood the earth with water." Right? In Genesis chapter 9, verse 12, "Then God said, I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all the living creatures for all generations to come. When I send clouds over the earth, and the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and all living creatures. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life." Every time you see the red, yellow, orange, blue, and green and all the colors, it's covenant colors. Amen? Number three. Here's the third example. He kept His covenant with Abraham. You got to listen to this carefully. Listen to what God tells them to do and listen what happens here. This is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 9. He says, "The Lord told Abraham, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Verse 10. "So Abraham presented all these to him and killed them. And then he cut each animal down the middle." He says, down the middle, And he laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. After the sun went down, this is verse 17, after the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenazites, Kadamites, Hivites, Perizzites, blah, 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 all the other ites, right? He said, I'm literally giving you this land, and I'm making you this covenant. This land is yours for you and your descendants forever, right? And then, so imagine, Abraham does this act. He kills all these animals. He divides them in half. He forms a pathway between these animals, and all the blood drains down into this bloody pathway. And here's the picture. Imagine Abraham. He sees God. He sees this flaming torch. And I just go back to that first one. It's this flaming torch. And this is a picture of God himself, like God himself, the God himself, walking right through the pieces, right? Right to the pathway. You know, and today, it's like God is saying, I'm walking right through the pieces of your life. And I'm declaring, I am a covenant-keeping God. Right? You know, in those days, they had this act. It was a strange act that they'd kill these animals. And they'd have to, when two people made covenant, they had to walk through, now the next picture, they had walked through this bloody pathway. And it was by blood that ratified, that sealed this covenant. And here's the deal. If any one of them broke this covenant, it meant that their lives would literally be like the pieces that were cut apart, and the life drained out of them. It was that serious. You should not and you could not break covenant. Amen? That's what God is saying here. That was the mark of covenant. You know, today people's lives feel broken. You know why? It's because of broken covenants. And their lives are a bloody mess. Keep your covenants. Amen? In Genesis chapter 17, God gives Abraham the promise of a son. Genesis 17 verse 1 says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Verse 2, I will make a covenant with you, by which I will guarantee you the countless descendants. He said, then he gives him a new name and a new identity, if you read the rest of that chapter in between. He says, Abram, I'm changing your name from Abram, which means father, to Abraham, which means father of many. You will be the father of many nations. Kings and princes will come from you. And then he says in verse 9, then the Lord said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. He says, I'm making a covenant. Now I want you to be very careful to keep the covenant. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to the members of your family, but also to your servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. Wow. The mark of covenant at that time was circumcision. The cutting away of flesh, which required blood. And it symbolized a people, who belonged to God. You think of all the people who lived in that time, on earth, there was only one people that were God's people. And the mark that they were God's people is that all the males, every single one of them, were circumcised. Wow. The mark is circumcision. The cutting of the flesh, thank God, that we don't, that's no longer required. Amen. I thought I'd bring up that thing. Oh man, that must have been, oh, that must have hurt. Aren't you glad you're not a man? We're back then anyway. Okay. God kept his covenant. The covenant sign. We called cutting blood. Okay? By words and blood. Remember I said that? Number four. He kept his covenant with Moses. Exodus 19 verse 5. He said to Moses, now if you obey me and my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth. For all the earth belongs to me. God made a covenant, not just with Moses, but he made with that covenant with the entire, you know, nation, all God's people. You know, just go back to that first picture, or that first graphic there. Go back to that graphic. There. That's the people, remember that must have been an incredible scene in the valley before the Mount Sinai. And God is ready to speak to these people. He's making covenant with all the people. You know, understanding, you know, and God comes down from the mountain, you know, but before God comes down, Moses said, you must consecrate yourselves. And so he had everybody consecrated, they washed, they got clean, and he sprinkled every single person with blood, right? The covenant of blood. He cleansed himself, the priest sprinkled them. It is in verse 19, says that at the blast of the ram's horn, as the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God thundered his reply. And the Lord came down on top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Moses went up there and spent 40 days and 40 nights. See, the people literally heard the voice of God on the mountain. And then God gave them the Ten Commandments through Moses, right? By words and by blood. Covenant sealed by words and by blood. Number five, God kept his covenant with David. David was king. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16. God said to David, your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. And of course, this covenant is secured through Jesus Christ, right? Jesus now sits at the right hand of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and he's also the Son of David. He came to the line of David. Number six, one more. And this is so important. He kept all his covenants and promises through his son, Jesus Christ. Next point. All the covenants in the Bible from Adam, Noah, Abraham, David were all completed when Jesus died upon the cross and he gave us a new covenant called grace, a grace covenant. Jesus said in Matthew 26, 27, the night before he was betrayed, he took the cup, he was sitting with his disciples, he says he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for the remission of sins. So what did the covenant have in it? It had a broken body, broken pieces, and it had the blood of a perfect sacrifice. Perfect, final sacrifice. No longer needing all those Old Testament sacrifices. No longer needing the shedding of blood. Right? Thank God. No longer needing sacrifice. This is the final perfect sacrifice. Jesus did it for us. Colossians 1 verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you, and this is my blood which was given to you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Amen. So every time we take communion, you know what? It's covenant. It's koinonia. Koinonia is intimate fellowship coming together as one people. Intimate fellowship, right? We partake in covenant with God, but we also take covenant, we partake in covenant with one another. See how important it is? Covenant is not just covenant with God, it's covenant with God's people. God, I said, is a covenant keeper, and he's also a promise keeper. And because he's a promise keeper, you and I, we can be totally assured of eternal life in heaven. Amen? We can be totally assured that Jesus of the promise that he will return again. And we can be totally assured of the promise that your name and my name, because of Jesus, is written in Lamb's Book of Life. All because we believe in Jesus. Amen. God is the covenant keeper. I said God is a God, a covenant God, and we are a covenant people. God is a covenant God. We are a covenant people. Let's go back right to the front now, in that story of Jonathan and David. 1 Samuel 18 verse 3 says, then Jonathan David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. This is a picture of a covenant friendship. And this is a model of perhaps the relationships we are to have with one another today. Here's what Jonathan did. Jonathan makes his covenant with David, and he makes it and he seals it by doing these things. He gives him his robe. What does that mean? It means literally that Jonathan was next in line to the throne, right? He was the son of the king. But he recognizes the call of God on David's life. And so he surrenders. He defers himself. He takes off his robe, his royalty, his honor, and gives it over to David. Distinction. And he esteems David. It's like Jonathan was saying to David, I will honor who God has called you to be. Amen? I will honor you. And today we live in a world that lacks honor. Lacks honor. World lacking in honor. Just look at what's happening to the U.S. Here's the president that God puts in. I know he's not a perfect person, but there's so much dishonor on who God has put up and set in that place. Amen? God wants us to honor. Second thing he does is he gives him his weapons. Even his sword, he promises David his protection. He says, David, I'm not going to stab you in the back. I'm not going to stab you in the back. I've got your back, David. Now, third thing he does, he gives him his bow. Jonathan loved his bow. It was his very best, his favorite weapon. He says, you've got my best, David. Another thing he did, it's not on, he gives him his belt. His belt represented his wealth, his money. People, when they walked around, they were wanderers. They kept all that they owned, their gold, their silver, it was in their belt. He gave him his belt. He says, all that I have belongs to you. I give you my strength. And he gives him his heart. They were connected together in a spiritual bond, heart to heart. You know my prayer today? My prayer is for us today that God would connect us together in real covenant relationships, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. So powerful, isn't it? When God connects people heart to heart and spirit to spirit, incredible things can happen. Right? It's just a picture. God is one. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He wants us to be one too. Amen? When God knits your spirit together, when God really knits your spirit together, covenant is not a contract. Covenant's not a contract. You don't look for a loophole or a way out. You make a covenant with someone, you're in it for forever, right? You're not looking for ways to get out. Covenant is not convenient. It's not just when it feels good, when it feels right, when it benefits me. Or covenant is not covenant when I challenge you, or when I correct you, or when I try to counsel you, and you get mad, and you say, I'm out of here. And I've done that. People have covenanted with me, and I started to challenge him and correct him. That was it. Years of relationship that were great until the challenge came, until the correction came, and they were gone. God's not into covenant breaking. God doesn't like it when we break covenant. I'm not saying I was right. I was right, but anyway, covenant. Covenant. Covenant cuts. Cuts deep to the heart. Covenant commits. It should commit us for a lifetime. And covenant connects us. Covenant connects us so that we can be one. One in heart, one in mind, and one in purpose. Amen? We one people. We are made one through the blood of Christ. Do we understand that? We are made one through the blood of Christ. The blood determines. The blood determines how I deal or how you deal with offense. The blood should determine how you deal with past hurts. The blood should determine how you deal with sin, how you get clean before God, right? The blood should determine how you put your marriage back together, or how I will stay in my marriage, or how I will stay in my relationships in koinonia. See, it's covenant blood. It's covenant blood. You know, there's power. I want to say it again. There's power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? I'm not going to try to sing that. It's going to just deflate the message otherwise. But there's power in the blood. Power when you make covenant with someone. Right? Keep the covenant. We were made. Covenant people, I say, are getting harder and harder to find. You know, guys, we were made to love one woman. Amen? We were made to love one woman. You made your vows to that woman, that's your woman for your life. Amen? Amen. I hear that, yes. We were made to have lasting relationships. Lasting covenant friendships. Amen? I'm going to finish off with some, real quickly, with some practical advice. Practical advice. Here's some practical advice regarding covenant relationships. Number one, don't make covenant with non-covenant people. Don't make covenants with non-covenant people. I say, watch your words. Watch your words and make your promises slow. You know why? Because breaking covenant hurts. Deeply. Breaking covenant hurts. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. Paul said to the Corinthians, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Don't be unequally yoked. And I believe that if Paul were standing today, in this age, I believe he might be referring not only to unbelievers, but to those who claim to be believers, but their standards are not the standard of God's word. Amen? I see, you know, if you're entering into a business relationship, a long-term relationship, what do? You get a background check on that person or that business, don't you? If you're dating someone, you need to get a background check on that person that you're dating. Make sure that person has within them godliness and covenant. Otherwise, you're going to be disappointed. Amen? Maybe you're starting over in life. Maybe you've gone through it and you're looking for a new partner. Make sure that person has covenant and godliness within them. Number three, so number three and number two. Number two, ask yourself, is this person bringing me closer to commitment to Jesus and to the fellowship of my local church? Is this person really going to bring me closer to Jesus than my local church? I say, if not, why waste your time? Why you waste your time? And if you're dating, why waste your life? Not just your time. Why waste your life on someone who's not committed to God, to Jesus, and to his kingdom? Right? If you're entering into this relationship. Number three, when you find a covenant relationship, make the covenant and keep the covenant. Make the covenant and keep the covenant. Karen and I, we're your pastors. And we made a covenant with God to serve you. Amen? We're here to serve you. And we do this because it's not a calling. It's not a career. It's a calling, right? See, it's a calling to us. It's not a career. You can easily give up a career, but it's really difficult to give up a calling. Because this calling that we have made to pastor this church is built on covenant. It's not a career to us, right? We'd have been gone a long time ago, right? Covenant and calling makes you committed, right? To stay the course and to be faithful despite all kinds of obstacles and problems. But the grace of God and the power of God is with you, and He'll help you. Amen? He builds to covenant. You know, it's a matter of the kingdom. And that's the challenge today. I'm closing pretty soon. You know, the challenge is today, be a covenant people. Be a covenant person. If you're a believer in Christ and you're sitting here today, you're called to be a keeper of the covenant. Amen? You know, that was Jesus' final prayer. You know, the world needs to see a people who are one, like Jesus and His church. And that's exactly what Jesus prayed in John 17, 20. My prayer is not for them alone, not just for the disciples to live in this time. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in them. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Amen? In a world, in a world that can't commit, in a world that's in pieces, we are a grace people, we are a godly people, part, come on up, and we are a covenant people. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The challenge, I don't even have to pray about it. We know what the challenge is. It's to become a covenant keeper, to be loyal and faithful to the covenants that we make. As we bow our heads, I want to say to maybe more than one person here, God has prepared an incredible life for those who believe in Him. Just believe in Jesus. And maybe you're here, you've never connected to the God of the universe who sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And today you can connect with God through His Son Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're not even sure that you're ready to commit because your life is so messed up right now. And maybe you're so far, you feel like what you've done in and with your life is too much for God. But I want to tell you, God has the ability to heal messed up lives and broken lives. He comes like that torch, that fire that comes right through the pieces of your life. And He said, I can make you whole again. Amen? What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God did it all for you. I want to tell you, it's you're never too far from God. And you can receive Christ today. Or you're here today. You're not sure that Jesus is the Lord of your life. You're not sure of your final destiny in eternity. And today you can make sure, for sure, by receiving Christ into your life and inviting Him in. So, whoever you are today, you've never connected with God, or you want to connect with God today, I want to say a prayer. Just a simple, short prayer, but it'll change your life forever. This is a prayer for a brand new start, for a brand new life. And God will give that to you today. God will make you into a new person, and He'll give you the power to go through every storm in this life. And you will never, ever be alone. You will never be alone again. So if that's you, and you're ready, will you just say this simple prayer that I'm going to say? Just repeat. In fact, can we all repeat this prayer together? Let's say this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. And I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Thank you for shedding your blood for my sins. I receive you into my heart today. I invite you to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And if you made that decision today, I want you to just raise your hand and just hold it up. If you made that decision today, I received Christ into my heart. Just raise your hand. Anyone. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hand. Right? I received Christ into my heart today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your incredible love, Lord. I just pray that you take these words of covenant that we've heard about, and now Lord, I truly believe that you want to take this word and put it deep into our heart. Let it just be a superficial thought. Let it be something that we live out and act out every day in our life, henceforth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to call out.